or a returning missionary, that it would stir our hearts about missions continually. Been preaching, talking about missions on Sundays, about praying for missions. We should be going. Missions is not just around the world. It's right here where we are. And there are souls that need to be saved in Redding, California, just as much as anywhere around the world. So we must understand our part with missions right here where we are as well. Our teen revival, that's a great opportunity to reach souls for Christ. And really, our public schools are a mission field. And so we must be praying, we must be going, and we must also be giving as well. And our giving helps to support missionaries like faithful families like the Cases in Mexico. And so I want to encourage you with a few things. Get the missionary prayer sheet on the information station. Be praying over our missionaries every single day. It's so important to pray for our missionaries. Go down our missions hall and look at the missionaries as you leave the services. And look at their faces. Look at the country where they are. And keep missions in front of your heart and in front of your mind. And then this month, I want to encourage you, as we talked about on Sunday, to pray about what God would have you to give weekly or monthly in the area of worldwide missions. And whatever you are giving, I believe with all my heart that God always wants us to do more. Do you believe that, church? God always wants us to do more. It's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. But God always blesses when you step out by faith to do His work. Amen? And it's His work. We get to be a part of it. And so I want to challenge you to keep the thought of missions alive, not just on a Wednesday evening service, but throughout the week, throughout the day, and throughout the month. Again, we're privileged to have the Case family with us. We were talking about it last night, but I believe that when the Cases were in Tijuana and they were learning the language, or I believe we went on a missions trip, or maybe two of our missions trips, while they were there learning the language, then went out to Mexico City, were able to start a few churches there, and now going back to the Tijuana area. And there's needs all around the world, but I'm thankful for faithful laborers that are willing to go and be sensitive to God's leading. And I want to encourage you to pray for them as they go to start this new church plant. So, Brother Case, would you come and preach for us tonight? We appreciate you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, amen. I'm excited to be here and to be able to share with you folks what God is doing in our hearts, and to be able to talk with you and see you again and see how what God is doing in your church. And we had a good time with the young people over there in chapel, and that was a blessing to be able to fellowship with them. And so go by the table. It's all right if your kids want to touch some of the stuff out there. We make our table kind of interactive, so they can play with some of the things out there. But it's one of those things that helps kids remember the missionary, you know. Remember playing with a toy or something kind of helps out. Well, tonight, let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, and a very important passage that I'm sure you've heard preached, and even that's kind of with the video that we've shown tonight, and an important message for me to really understand. But I believe each one of us has fruit that we need to bring to the Lord and a place in the harvest that God wants us to work. And I believe that there's times in history that the harvest kind of gets to the place where it's ripe. It's a place where there's a moment where we have to take advantage of the harvest time. You know, I think about 9/11, when that happened, a lot of people were saying, God bless America. And I believe a lot of people kind of lifted up their eyes and were kind of looking for God and looking for what God was doing. I also believe during the pandemic, during the time of COVID, there was a time where people kind of understood that our rights can be taken away from us really quickly. Sometimes we think that'll take, 10 years or 20 years. And I believe a lot of people came back to church. Some people maybe got more involved after that. And if you haven't heard the news, Charlie Kirk, a man that was just killed for his beliefs and for believing in Bible values, I believe that a lot of people are thinking now, again, what was his message? And even looking at that message, and I believe it's a time in history, a time right now, that the fruit is a little riper, that the time is a little closer to that we need to get busy. And many times we're looking for an occasion. We say, well, when am I ever going to get involved, or when can I ever get involved? And I think that now is the time. Now is the time to get involved. Now is the time to preach the gospel. If maybe one time, you know, you went out and you got chased by a dog and you gave up on soul winning, now it's time to go ahead and get chased by another dog again. It's time to go out again. It's time to maybe revive that soul winning spirit, to go back out and try again. Maybe there's some new fruit on the vine. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, that each one of us to reap our harvest. And I believe in this passage, we're going to see the Lord Jesus teach his disciples how to reap the harvest and how to go into the field. And he's going to give that example. And hopefully you'll see it tonight and be able to, I'll try to illustrate that for you and then try to teach that message. And then hopefully we'll take the application of that message to our lives and do something with it. So let's go ahead and start here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. It says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness and kindness to us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand the harvest time that we're in. Please help us to be a part of the field that you've given us to reap and the place that you've given us to work. Pray that each one of us would see that need, and also to understand that when the fruit is ripe, and I believe we're in a season where the fruit is a little riper now. Maybe it was green before, but now people are looking. And help us, Lord, to go out into the fields and check again to see if the fruit is ripe. Help us to work the place you've given us. Help us to be a part of the harvest time that you've given us. And even as we, as missionaries, go to a new field there in Tijuana, I don't know the fruit that's on the vine there. I don't know if people are ripe for harvest. I don't know if they're green and not ready yet. I don't know if they're past time, where they just don't want to be saved. I don't really know, Lord, but I know you've called me to go check that row, to go check that field, to go check in up there in that place. And I pray that all of us would have that conviction and that heart. Be with me tonight, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Empower me to preach your message, Lord. And you would talk to your people tonight, and that they would hear you and want to serve you and love you. And Lord, when we're all done with this service, as we leave, we would say, we met with Jesus tonight. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember one summer when I was a young boy, 13 years old, and just kind of wasting my summer there in Portland, Oregon. And as I was sitting there on the floor of my friend's carpet just playing Nintendo, I remember my friend's big brother came over and he looked at us and he said, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" And we kind of looked back at him and said, what do you think we're doing? It's summertime. We're just hanging out. Leave us alone. And he was kind of bugging us there about how lazy we were and we should go do something. And he said, "Hey, you guys want to go work with me?" He said, "I know this ranch, and at this ranch, they'll just hire anybody. And if you go with me, we'll go there early in the morning. We'll go work at this ranch." And so I looked at my friend. I said, "You want to go?" He said, "Yeah, we got nothing else to do." So I remember getting up at 4 in the morning and going to this ranch, this massive ranch. It had these massive doors. And we're just waiting for the ranch to open. And as we're sitting there in front of these doors, all of these buses start to show up. And they start letting people off. And they all start to gather there at the ranch. I would say it was over 1,000 people in a line just to get in this ranch. And about 5 in the morning, they opened the doors. And these four men were out there. And they were kind of grabbing groups to different parts and taking them to different parts of the ranch. And they grabbed us and my friend and I and his big brother. And he said, "You guys are going to go work in the raspberries." So we went over to this area of the raspberries, and the foreman got out before the group of us, and he says, okay, welcome to the ranch. He said, you guys are going to be working the raspberries today. And he said, grab one of these boxes. And in each one of these boxes, there were 12 little baskets. And he said, and grab one of these cards. Now, I'm going to just use my prayer card kind of as an illustration, but it was about like this. But he said, grab one of these cards. He said, now when you go out here, you're going to fill up your box. And when you come back, he said, I'm going to punch a hole in your card. And he said, for each one of those holes that you bring in, each one of those boxes of raspberries that you bring in, and each one of those holes that I punch in your card, we're going to give you $10. And you know, for a 13-year-old boy, that was a lot of money for me. I mean, my dad only gave me $5 a week, so I was pretty happy about that. And he said, now when you go out and work here, he said, stay in your row. Don't work anybody else's row because we might get people showing up later. And also, when the truck comes down, it'll come down to where the row ends. So just keep on working your row. And he also said to us, now when the truck comes down the hill, he's going to honk his horn, and he's going to come with a box of cash. And when he looks, you're going to give him your card, and he's going to count the little holes there, and he's going to give you your money in cash that day. So, man, I was excited. And I remember grabbing my box, and I ran out to my row there, and I started picking raspberries. And I started throwing raspberries in my box there, just kind of filling up, not my box, but my little basket, really, trying to fill up my basket. And it didn't seem like it was getting any fuller. And, you know, after a while, I think I was just making raspberry jam because I didn't know how to pick a raspberry. And my friend's big brother, he looks over at me. He says to me, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm trying to pick a raspberry. He said, well, that's not how you pick a raspberry. He said, first of all, don't go for those green ones down there. He said, don't go for these ones that are kind of past time. He said, look for these two that are nice and ripe. He said, when you find a ripe one, squeeze gently, twist and pull. And I said, well, all right. And even as I was grabbing all the raspberries, I had gotten thorns in my hands. Now my hands are bleeding and I don't even know what I'm doing. And so I thought, well, maybe this will work a little better. And I remember squeezing that raspberry, twisting and pulling. It came off perfectly, like you see them in the stores. And I threw it in my little basket. And then I remember I learned how to pick a raspberry. I started picking those all day long, and I filled up one little basket, another little basket, until I got all 12 baskets. Then I went up there and got my card there, and he punched a hole in my card, $10. Ran back out with another box there, trying to fill it up and working that whole day out there. But you know, after about 6 hours, I started to get tired. And you know, this is my first day of hard work. And the sun was out now, been working all day, and I remember asking my friend's big brother, I said, hey, I want to go home now. I'm done. I want to be done with this job. And I remember he looked at me and he said, hey, you can't go home, you got to wait for the truck. And I said, well, can't they pay me later? I mean, can't they pay me early? He said, no, the truck has the money, you have to wait. And so I remember kind of wasting my time, and then at the end of the day, I saw that truck come down the hill, and I remember going over to the truck, and I had my card there, and I remember handing it to that guy, and I had 8 holes in my little card, and I remember I earned $80 as a 13-year-old boy, and that bought a lot of bubble gum and candy and arcade time, and I remember going back to that place when I'd want to. They wouldn't care whenever you'd come. And he let us come in and work there. And I tell that story because I didn't know how to pick a raspberry. I didn't know how to reap a harvest. And when I look at the passage here, I really see Jesus teaching his disciples how to reap the harvest that God has given to them. And so you see here that, first of all, he's going to give the example. He's going to give the example of how to do it. So if you look here in verse 35, it says here, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. And we need to go to everyone. Not just people who look like us, who think like us, who do the same things that we do. We need to go to everyone. You know, I remember going to showing up there in Xochimilco for the first time, and my neighbor came out and he was just watching me out in his patio. And he's just looking at me as I'm bringing all my stuff into the house there in Mexico. And then finally he got up the nerve to come over to me and ask me, what are you doing here? I said, well, I said, I'm a missionary. He said, well, what's a missionary? And he also said, well, what are you going to do here? I said, well, I believe God's called us here to start a church. He said, we don't need any more churches. We have like five of them down the road. We don't need any more churches. And he didn't appreciate while I was there. I mean, he just thought I was kind of useless coming in and being his neighbor. He didn't really understand. But we needed to go to that area, even though they had five Catholic churches around them. We need to go to everyone. And even when we look at this passage, these might be the same people later on who would be crying out, crucify him, crucify him. But Jesus went to them anyway. And when we look at a lost and dying world, we have to understand that we need to go to all those people who need the gospel. But you know, if you read these new books on how to start a church, it's mostly about church swapping. How can we do the new thing? How can we get the new music? How can we say the new thing so those people over here come over to our church and then we can grow our church that way? But we need to go to everyone, not just church people. You know that there's some people who will never look at your website. They don't care about your sign. When are we going to go to those people? And that's why we knock on doors. That's why we go out to everyone. That's why we go to schools. That's why we go to places where those people would reject us, say they don't want to hear about us, and say get lost, but we still go to them. Why? Because we need to go everywhere. And even in Mexico, those people would say, get lost, we don't want to hear you, but we need to go to everyone. But secondly, look with me here, it says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. When we look at that, when we go out, what do we need to do? We need to preach the gospel. It's by the preaching of God's word that God wants to save sinners. And you know, we have to understand that every time you have a missions conference, every time that you fill out a card that says, I want to commit to the preaching of God's word. I want to send another preacher to Mexico. I want to send another preacher to Africa. I want to send another preacher to China. Some people would say, that's a bunch of vanity. That's pretty much useless. That doesn't do anything today. But if we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. I talked about that in the morning service within chapel. But God says he wants to use the foolishness of preaching. And I know sometimes it seems foolish. But I tell you, I'm so glad that a preacher got up in the pulpit on January 7th, 1996. When a hippie-looking kid went into a church with long hair and he preached about how Jesus could save us and how we need to repent of our sins. And in that service, I remember I raised my hand because he said, if you don't know for sure you have a home in heaven, let us know and we'll show you. And that day I went forward and I heard the gospel and I asked the Lord Jesus to save me in it, and it changed my life. And some people might say, that's a bunch of foolishness. I know it sounds foolish, but God uses sinners saved by grace. And I want to encourage you tonight that when you're going to fill out that faith promise card, that card has value. That card can reach people. Why? Because you're promoting, you're sending a preacher. And this world's not going to be saved by Facebook. It's not going to be saved by web pages. It's not going to be saved by Grok or ChatGPT. It's going to be saved by an old preacher getting up in a service and proclaiming the word of God, standing on a street corner and preaching God's word, going door to door and giving out tracts. That's what's going to turn a world to Christ. And no one else is going to do that for us. We have to preach the gospel. And when Jesus went about all the cities and all the villages, he went teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Oh, church, that we might see the need of the preaching of God's word in our day and age. That we might preach it, we might promote it, we might send it, we might sacrifice for it, because it's by that medium that God will reach this lost and dying world. And I know they don't understand it, and I know they can't see it. But we're the ones who have to be about preaching the word of God. But also see with me in this passage, it says that he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know, when you think about that, when we think about Christians and how we should act and the testimony we should have, you know, it should be us the ones helping our neighbors. It should be us visiting the widows. It should be us, the ones visiting the sick. And when I think about Jesus going around the cities and villages, he went around healing them. He went around helping them. And in Matthew 5:16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We have to be busy about doing good works. I remember in 2017, I don't know if you heard about the earthquake in Xochimilco, Mexico City, but there was a big earthquake. And a lot of people died in our area there. And especially the people who live on the canal, they lost water. All of their drainage system was broken up. They had no drainage. They had no lights or electricity was off. And the government wasn't helping them. And so we called churches and we asked a lot of people to send us food and to send us aid so that we could go over there. And we went over to the trajineras, or to these areas called the boats, the boats in Mexico. And then we asked them if we could have permission to float over to their islands. And they came over on their little boats, and we stacked up the clothes and the blankets and the food and the toys for the kids. And we went over there, and we started talking to them about Jesus. And we gave out tracts, and we gave them clothes. And, you know, but when we go to a place, we don't need to just give them help. What they need is the gospel. And when we want to help others, it's fine if we help them, but we need to let our light shine to glorify God. Not to glorify a church, not to glorify us, not to glorify who we are, but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And but when we do that is when we preach the gospel. And I think about that when I think about how Jesus gave the example. Hey, I didn't know how to pick a raspberry. Somebody had to teach me. And Jesus is showing his disciples, hey, when you go out, go everywhere. Even those guys who don't want to hear me, yeah, go to them too. And Jesus said, well, what are we going to do when we go out there? You're going to preach to them. Preach to them. Tell them about the kingdom. Tell them about me. And then what else? We're going to be busy about doing good works. But also, see with me in verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know what else he was given the example of? The example of compassion. How do you see this world? Do you see it as just people who don't agree with your political stands? People who don't look like you, dress like you, or talk like you? How do you see this world? Well, when I look at Jesus, he saw them with eyes of compassion. But you know, many times we don't have compassion because we've been hurt. Somebody hurt us. Many times we use that as an excuse to say, well, I don't do that anymore. I used to go soul winning, but someone shut the door on me. I don't go anymore. I used to work in that nursery, but man, there was a kid in there. I tell you, I don't work in there anymore. Oh, I used to help in the teen class, but there was a teenager. Oh, man. Oh, I used to help out with the potlucks and things, but they didn't like my macaroni and cheese. I don't do that anymore. Yeah, I know. And picking raspberries, there's thorns on them. They hurt your hands sometimes. You know, I think about when we're on that furlough in 2017, I got a call from the pastor. He said, Pastor, I have bad news for you. I said, oh, yeah, what's going on? He said, someone broke into your house. I said, what? He said, yeah, someone broke into your house. I have the video. And he sent me the video because we had cameras around the church there. And we saw the person jump the wall. He went down the stairs. He broke into the office. He just kicked the door down, stole the offerings, and he left. Now, how many understand that somebody who had visited our church before? And by looking at the person on the camera, I could tell that it was somebody we knew, somebody we'd been ministering to and visited and even doing discipleship with. And you know what I can say? I can say I'm not going back to Mexico. Somebody hurt me. Somebody took my things. Somebody stole from me. It might be dangerous. But I have to be willing to go back even though sometimes it hurts. I have to be willing to have compassion because Jesus had compassion on me. Because Jesus loves me. Because Jesus forgives me. And if you think about Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You know what? God forgives me. God has mercy on me. And you know, when I go back and people say, Brother Case, why are you going back to Mexico? You must really like the tacos. No, not that much. Oh, Brother Case, you're going back to Mexico. You must really love the Mexican people. I love them, but not that much. Well, then why are you going back? Because I love Jesus. Hey, church people, why are you going to serve in that class? Because you love Jesus. Why are you going to go back to that nursery? Because I love Jesus. Why are you going to go out and knock some doors? Because I love Jesus. That's it. That's the motivation. That's why we go, because he gave it all for us. And who are we to say, I give nothing to you. I sacrifice nothing for you. No, we say, Lord, if you've given it all, if you forgive me and you give me mercy and you give me compassion every morning, who am I to not be your servant? I'll go out and have compassion, because compassion makes a difference. And of some having compassion, making a difference in Jude 22. It's amazing what God will do. If we'll be willing to have compassion on a lost and dying world, if we'll be willing to look at them with eyes of compassion. And I know sometimes it's hard. And I know sometimes that it hurts. And I know sometimes people don't understand, but I would encourage you tonight, go ahead and go back out. Go ahead and go out and let yourself be heard again. I'm willing to go back to Mexico and be heard again. It's all right, because he's worth it. He's worth it. Is he worth it to you? Is he worth it to go soul winning again, to serve in that class again? To go out and maybe give your heart again to missions or to soul winning or to serving. He's worth it. He's worth every moment of it. And I want to encourage you to have compassion on a lost and dying world. But see with me here in verse 37. It says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, when we look at the harvest field, we can look at it and say, it's done. We don't have a chance. There's no more fruit. But when God looks on the field, the problem is not with the fruit. The problem is not that there isn't ripe fruit or people who need to be saved. That's not the problem. What's the problem according to the verse? It's the laborers. It's the people that don't go out and they won't leave their homes. They won't leave their place of comfort. They won't go out into the fields. That is the problem. It's with the laborers. It's not with the fields. Oh, yeah, but you don't know America. You don't know Eureka. You don't know, you know, those places. You don't know California. Oh, you don't know. No, I believe there's places. I believe there's fruit in California. I believe there's fruit in Alabama. I believe there's fruit in Tijuana. I believe there's fruit in Mexico City. There's fruit everywhere if we'll just be willing to be laborers. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you checked your row? You know that you have fruit that I can't pick. You know that you have a row that I cannot harvest. My row's taking me back to Mexico. That's where I got to go knock doors and check and see if there's any fruit out there. When's the last time you checked with that your uncle? When's the last time you checked with that family member? When's the last time you checked maybe in your workplace? Hey, and the fruit might be a little more ripe because something just happened in our world. Somebody just died for the gospel. And they might be thinking about Jesus now. And maybe that fruit wasn't ripe before. Maybe it was green. But maybe now it's a little riper. Maybe someone needs to be told the gospel. So I want to challenge you to go out, because ripe fruit is sinners. In Psalms 14, 2 and 3, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that doth good, no, not one. And that might cause us to say, oh man, everybody's lost. Yeah, ripe fruit. That just means harvest time for us. It means people, no matter where you go, need to be saved. You know, but I think about a lot of times We just think the harvest time is over. And you know, when I think about the apostles, you know, I think they kind of had a sense they wanted to be done. I think about Acts, if you want to turn there, in Acts 1 and verses 6 through 8. I think about how Jesus had taught them all these things and how he even gives them a declaration to go out and preach the gospel to every creature, and he tells them that. And then when he meets with them here in Acts 1, and when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? How long has he been with them? Trying to show them that the time is not for to gain Israel back. It's not the time to kick the Romans out, okay? It's not that time. The time is to go out and preach the gospel. But they were worried about this time when are you going to restore Israel? And you know, just as a young boy, after 6 hours, I said, I want to go home. I'm done with this. I'm tired. I've been working all day. I want to go home. And then look in verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, unto the utmost part of the earth. He said, that is your time. That's what you've been given to do, the harvest time. Don't worry about the next season. That's in the Father's hands. And you know, church, don't get excited about aliens coming back to earth, okay? Don't get excited about comets coming and blowing us up, or that, this is going to happen over here, or this thing's going to happen. No, just be busy about in your time, in your season, reaping the harvest that God has given to you. Just be busy in your season. That's all I want to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, maybe a comet will come down and blow us all up, but I'll be glad that I was busy for the Lord. Amen. I'll be glad that I was out there trying to see if there was any fruit in my row, seeing if there was any ripe fruit I could go out there and harvest. And that's what we should be busy about doing. And finally, verse 38, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Do you think the disciples prayed? I think they did. I mean, Jesus gave them a prayer request, right? And I think they prayed. I think they took it seriously. And you could probably see them saying, okay, let's all get together and pray. Oh, Lord, send John to go out and maybe bring someone to you. I don't know how they prayed. But when we pray, we have to pray sincerely, being ready to respond to the answer that God gives. Now look with me in chapter 10 and verse 1. It says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits and to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness, and to heal all manner of disease. So now he called them. He says, okay, guys, you just prayed. Now you're the answer to your prayer request. You 12, come on. See, they were willing to accept that. When they prayed, they were willing to be the answer. They were willing to be the one that would go. Oh, Lord, send someone to my father-in-law. Send someone to my kids. Well, maybe it's you. Maybe you're the answer to that prayer. Don't wait for pastor to do it. Don't wait for someone else to do it, but be willing to answer that prayer. And when we go about, we have to understand that God has divine appointments for all of us. It's a wonderful thing to see when God uses us and he gives us those divine appointments, because he's called us to be laborers in the field. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. We are his husbandry. We are God's building. We are laborers together with him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 18 through 19, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Committed unto us, all of us, that ministry. That service, that all of us would be willing to be ministers of reconciliation, to bring those who are at odds with God, to bring them together for peace. And that's what we do. We reconcile this world with Jesus. We go out and tell him, hey, you've sinned against God, but Jesus has died on the cross for you. He's paid for your sins, and you can be reconciled with him if you'll believe on him and accept him into your heart. You can be saved today, and you can be reconciled with God. That's, we've been given the word of reconciliation, and I believe everyone in this room has divine appointments that God has for you. I remember the greatest divine appointment that I've ever had. We were starting the church in Xochimilco, and I was starting the church there. We had about 20 people come in, and then they stopped coming. And I said, well, we need to go out and go soul winning some more. And so I got the big soul winning activity ready to go out. And we started promoting it for about a month that day, getting all the chairs ready and getting the coffee and the donuts. And when we launched that event, nobody came. And you know, as a pastor, we have our pity parties. So I was having my pastor pity party there, thinking nobody came to my event. Nobody wanted to come. And I'm thinking, and I had a bad attitude, and I said, Lord, I'm not going out today. I don't want to go. And I remember thinking about that, and the Lord impressed upon my heart. He said, you need to go out. So, you know, as a good missionary, I get the kids. I said, all right, come on, get in the car. Go knock some doors and see what the Lord's going to do. And so we go down the street. We start knocking doors, and this little boy comes by. And he says, are you guys Christians? I said, yeah. So you're not Mormons, right? I said, we look like it, but no. He said, well, are you guys Jehovah's Witnesses? No. Are you Christians, right? Yeah, we're Christians. Well, can you come visit my mom? She's been looking for a church. Now, this does not happen, okay? I've never had this happen again. And so I gather the family, we go over to this door, and he rings the doorbell, and this lady comes out of the house upstairs. She's on the third floor, and she's looking down at us, and Jorge, the boy that talked to us, said, Mom, there's some Christians here. They want to talk to you. And so she lets us in, and we go up there, and we start talking to her. And she started just talking to us about how she had been saved in another ministry, how she accepted the Lord. And during that, her giving her testimony, a man came out from the back room. He did not want us to be there. He went back and hid in the back room. And then she started to cry. And she said, would you pray for me? I'm going through a hard time right now in my life. She said, I really need prayer. And so she gave she had been saved in another church, but she was just going through a hard time. So we prayed for her. And then she came to church that Sunday. And her children got saved. And then on the next Sunday, she brought her sister. And her sister had been saved in that other ministry, but her sister brought her husband, and her husband got saved. And then I didn't know this, but she's actually like the mayor of our town. She's the mayor of our town. So then she let us use all of the facilities around us because she had access to them all. And so, and the Lord just opened a great door. And after that moment, the church started to grow, and I never went out soul winning again alone. The Lord just allowed that to open a door in the community. And you know, Sandra, she gave a testimony two years later at a Thanksgiving service. She said, I want to thank the Lord for the time Pastor came to our house. She said, I found out that my husband was cheating on me again. And she said, I was I was waiting for my son to get back from the store, and I was getting ready to go to the stove and turn the gas on. She says, because I was going to blow the house up and all of us up together. But she says, as I was going to the stove, she said she began to pray. She said, Lord, help me. I need help. I don't know what to do. And that's when we knocked, or he rung the doorbell. And she got a little bit of hope for that day. You know, I don't know what fruit God has for you. Maybe it's not to reap the fruit. Maybe it's just to encourage it. To help others just get a little hope for another day. I don't know. But can I encourage you to go out and check the place God has put you? To check the row that God has given you? To go out and see if there's ripe fruit in your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your community, maybe at that Walmart, maybe out knocking doors. I don't know. But I'm so glad that I went out and checked that day. And you know, God will use anyone. When I went out and worked in that field, they didn't even ask me how old I was. They didn't even ask for my identification. There's a 13, great, go out there and work, grab a box. They didn't care. Anybody said, well, Pastor, I don't know how to knock on a door. Try, go out with somebody. Well, I don't know how to talk to anybody. Go ahead and try, just go out there. Go ahead and squish a couple raspberries. It's all right. Make some raspberry jam. That's okay. Because church, one day, just like I was out there knocking, out there picking berries, I remember the sweet sound of that horn on that truck. Coming down that hill. And I thought, oh man, it's pay time. I'm done with this today. And one day, the trumpet will sound in heaven. And Jesus will come with his reward in his hand. And oh, may we be prepared with the riches that we've gathered for him, the fruit that we've gathered for him. And we'll say, Lord, here it is. I've been working. I've been busy, Lord. And he'll repay every moment, every heartache, every time it hurt, every time he didn't want to go. He'll say, well done. Way to push through. Way to get it done. Way to go out and check your row to see if there's any fruit. Because God gives us the example here of how we just need to go to everyone. We need to preach the gospel. We need to be busy about doing good works. That we need to be busy also with understanding that we need to have compassion even when it hurts. And we need to not only that, lift up our eyes and see that the problem is not with the field. The problem is with the laborers. And if we'll just be willing to be used, God will use us. So I encourage you with that, church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the word of God. And we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ and how he went out to everyone preaching the gospel. He went out to everyone loving them, having eyes of compassion, going to them all, preaching the gospel, healing all the sickness, and then not looking at them as the ones who would cry, crucify him, but as sheep that were lost that had no shepherd. And he was willing to go out. Help us to see that the problem is not with the field, but it's with the laborers. It's us who don't go out. We don't go out to our rows anymore. We don't look for fruit anymore. And that's churches in general, Lord, because if we did, we'd have a great revival and many would be coming, we'd have much fruit. And help us to pray for laborers. Pray for more people to go to China and Mexico and India and all around the world. But when we pray that prayer, help us to be willing to answer that prayer too and to be able to be the laborers that you're looking for. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray that you bless it. If the Lord touched your heart tonight, I want to ask you this question. Do you know 100% sure that you have a home in heaven? If you don't have that confidence, tonight could be that night. You say, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know. Let us know. Talk with us. You can raise your hand right now and say, I don't know, but if someone would talk with me. If you know the Lord as your Savior, how's your row? Have you checked it lately? Have you checked in your family if there might be some ripe fruit now? Have you checked at that school or at your workplace or down the road? Check again. I want to encourage you to check again. Go out again, soul winning. That's all right. Some, if you've been hurt, go ahead and forgive and remember the compassion of Jesus. And I pray that all of us would be willing to find those divine appointments. They're so wonderful. They're so amazing. I'm so glad to work in the harvest field, and I hope you are too, Pastor.